Welcome to Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy. You can follow us online at healthmediapolicy.com. That's healthmediapolicy.com. Well, today on Health Cetera, we're going to talk about various aspects of the bill that Paul Ryan and the Republican Congress have put forth to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. I'm going to use the term Obamacare to refer to the Affordable Care Act because although it was a Republican-generated term, President Obama himself embraced it, and he'll go down in history as having led the expansion of health care coverage in the U.S. and a movement to focus on primary care, prevention, quality, and payment reform as ways to improve the health of the nation while reducing health care costs. And while I'm a supporter of single-payer health care, I don't believe it will happen in my lifetime in this country. And I want to give Obama credit for moving us in the right direction of trying to provide more people with access to quality health care. I'm going to refer to the Republican repeal and replace bill as Trump Care, mostly because Trump doesn't want this. For once, he doesn't want his name on something, and I'm sure it's because of the damage that the bill will do if enacted. So I'm going to review what Trump Care would accomplish if the bill is passed, and then we're going to hear from Health Cetera producers Eve Adler and Liz Siegert about how federally qualified health centers are often a lifeline for people who need care and how they may be affected by Trump Care. So this week, the Congressional Budget Office scored the American Health Care Act, or Trump Care. This is the bill that Paul Ryan and the Republicans put forth to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. The CBO, as it's called, is a nonpartisan congressional office for assessing the potential impact and cost of legislation put forth by Congress. The CBO reported that the bill will reduce federal deficits by $337 billion. Over the 2017 to 2026 period of time. But 14 million people will lose their health insurance in 2018 alone, and 24 million by 2026. Paul Ryan is said to be playing up the cost savings to get conservative Republicans on board with supporting the legislation, and he may be successful in the House of Representatives. But the bill will be blocked if just three Republican senators vote against the legislation. So why would the bill be so devastating to people's health care coverage? Well, first, it gets rid of the individual mandate. And the individual mandate is one leg of a three-legged stool. If health insurance is going to be covered, if we're going to cover the most people at the most affordable cost, other than single payer. What it requires is that everybody signs up for and pays for health insurance with or without subsidies, or gets it through their employer or through Medicare or Medicaid. The second leg of the stool is guaranteed issue, which is that the insurance company must provide you with insurance, regardless of whether you have pre-existing conditions. And I'm going to come back to this point later. And the other leg of the stool is providing subsidies for people who really can't afford the premiums for insurance. So you need all three legs of the stool in place, or else the plan goes into what's been called a death spiral. It is not sustainable. If you don't have an individual mandate that people sign up for health insurance, that everybody sign up or pay a penalty, those who are the healthiest among us will not pay for health insurance. If they don't have to, until they get sick. And if we wait until we're sick to purchase health insurance, then the cost of health insurance will become prohibitive. We need healthier people to be in the pool to be able to keep the costs of the insurance and overall health care costs down. So another part of the Trump Care bill is that it does keep the Obamacare provision that lets young adults up to age 26 stay on their parents' insurance plan. And it does maintain the pre-existing conditions requirement that insurers must cover you, even if you have pre-existing insurance, but pre-existing conditions, but only if the person has not had more than a 30-day break in insurance coverage. And that is a really important caveat. For someone who loses their job and has to choose between feeding their family and paying for health insurance, they're likely to have more than a 30-day break in their coverage, and insurers could charge them up to 30% more as a penalty once they sought to restore their insurance coverage. This means that those who are poorest among us will not be able to afford insurance coverage and will go without. They will be uninsured. Now, Obamacare does provide subsidies for low-income people and tax credits that are income-based. The higher your income, the lower the tax credit. If you have a lot of money, you shouldn't need much of a tax credit. If you don't have as much money, if you're middle or lower income, you get a better tax credit. Trump Care eliminates the subsidies that reduce deductibles and copays for moderate income policyholders who have their insurance through the individual market. Now, these tax credits will no longer be income-based, but will be age-based. In fact, the tax credits are better for people who are older under Trump Care than under Obamacare. But the bill, Trump Care, would allow insurance companies to charge older people 5 times as much for their insurance as younger adults. So that tax credit really becomes half of what it could be in terms of the payments that credits that people get now under Obamacare. Obamacare capped the amount that insurance companies could charge older adults to 3 times the amount for younger people. And people making $20,000 a year take the biggest hit at any age under Trump Care, and that's according to a Kaiser Family Foundation study. Trump Care would also stop people in 2020 from being able to sign up for Medicaid. Now, this is really important. Trump Care will alter Medicaid significantly. Under Obamacare, the states were required to expand Medicaid to anybody who was at 138% or lower of the federal income poverty level, federal poverty level. Now, in the past, only women and children qualified for that, but now single men who are able-bodied, if they make 138% or less of the federal poverty level, they can sign up for Medicaid if they don't already have insurance through their employer. And so that really increased coverage for millions of people under Obamacare. However, the Supreme Court ruled that that requirement of the states was challenged by conservatives, said Obamacare cannot mandate that insurance companies expand that, or that states expand their Medicaid coverage. And the Supreme Court ruled that that was correct. They could not require it, but they could opt for it. So about half of the states have opted to expand Medicaid, and it has made a dramatic difference in the number of uninsured in those states. Trump Care would stop people from signing up for Medicaid after 2020 who are at 138% or lower of the poverty level. So if you're a single able-bodied man making less than 139% of the poverty level, you will no longer qualify for Medicaid after 2020 and cannot sign up for it. But Trump Care would also change how it pays for Medicaid. Since its inception, Medicaid has been a joint federal and state program, with the federal government picking up a significant portion of the state's costs for those who receive care under the Medicaid program. Under Trump Care, then the Republican principle of giving states more authority and flexibility, states would receive a block grant based on the number of people enrolled in the program as of 2020. The states would be free then to determine how they would use these funds, including diverting the monies for other purposes other than paying for health care for the poor. It really is unlikely that the amount of federal monies provided in the block grants would be sufficient to cover all of the people who have signed up for Medicaid since the state expansion of the program. So the states would have to reduce the number of people who are covered under Medicaid, or they would have to curtail what services are covered. So a state might decide that it's not going to pay for organ transplants, for example, or certain cancer treatments or smoking cessation interventions. And if there's an economic turndown, the states would have to figure out how to take the same amount of money and use it to cover many more people who've become uninsured. Trump Care essentially shifts the financial risks of the Medicaid program to the states. And Trump Care would eliminate the federal mandate that all state Medicaid programs cover certain minimum essential services, such as maternity care. Since Trump Care would also cut off federal funding for Planned Parenthood, this would reduce access to birth control for many women and result in thousands of additional Medicaid births. The Congressional Budget Office estimated that defunding Planned Parenthood alone, even for a year, would increase Medicaid spending by $21 million in the first year and $77 million by 2026. Of course, if a state decides not to include maternity care in its benefits, those births won't be covered at all. Now, one other point here is that the bill specifies that no subsidies will be provided for any health insurance that covers abortion services. And that's for both Medicaid and private insurance. So much for state flexibility. Now, Obamacare did require that insurance companies offer certain minimum essential benefits, including mental health and substance abuse treatment. Trump Care gets rid of that requirement for the essential benefits. It also, under Medicaid, says that the states don't have to cover substance abuse and mental health treatments. This change would allow insurance carriers to offer a wider selection of policies, including more with higher deductibles and copays. They could make it more difficult to find plans with low deductibles that the sick often want. And it's likely that more people will opt for a catastrophic health insurance plan that is cheaper, but only covers costs related to a high-cost catastrophic illness. Now, that's going to drive up healthcare costs because people will avoid less costly preventive care and chronic disease management that could reduce the risk of a catastrophic illness. I might also point out that there are a lot of people saying, well, people can still get their care in an emergency room. Well, there is a law that requires that emergency rooms provide emergency treatment for anyone who shows up at their door, but it does not require for them to provide non-emergency treatment. So if you show up at the emergency room with severe pain in your testicle and they diagnose it as cancer, they will treat the pain, but they will not treat your cancer if you can't afford to pay, unless they have an uncompensated care fund or otherwise have monies to pay for people for care for people who can't afford it. But those monies are much lower than they were before Obamacare because the thinking was that more people would be covered and we wouldn't need as much uncompensated care monies. So that's how it would affect people in terms of insurance coverage, the highlights. But now let's turn to how the bill would reduce the federal deficit, something that Paul Ryan, the conservative Republicans, are playing up a great deal while denying that the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, estimates of the millions of people who would become uninsured if Trump Care is enacted, denying those estimates, saying that they're inaccurate, the number of people who would be uninsured. Some people are calling the Trump Care bill more of a tax reduction bill than a health care bill, and they're probably right. The legislation would eliminate two taxes that Obamacare levied on the wealthy to help pay for the law. Most people in the top 1% income bracket who earn more than $774,000 a year under Trump Care would get a large tax cut averaging $33,000. Those in the top 0.1%, 0.1% of income, will get an average tax cut of about $197,000. Trump Care would also remove taxes established under Obamacare to pay for the subsidies and other elements in the Affordable Care Act. These include taxes on medical devices that are often overused and they're making huge profits, and they ought to be taxed. Taxes that were included in the Affordable Care Act on indoor tanning salons. Trump Care is going to reverse those taxes. So I figure either a congressman owns an indoor tanning salon or has a family member who does, and that's why this is in here. It's just absurd, since indoor tanning salons have been shown to be linked to higher rates of skin cancer, which will drive up health care costs. There are also taxes that are eliminated under Trump Care that were levied again under Obamacare So there are taxes that were levied under Obamacare that Trump Care would eliminate for health insurance providers. Those taxes will no longer be in play. And Trump Care would remove the taxes for individuals who don't have health insurance of some sort, and taxes on insurance company executive pay. Obamacare allowed insurance companies to deduct only $500,000 of their executives' pay as a business expense. Trump Care would repeal that limitation starting in 2018, and many of these executives are making millions of dollars. So top insurers would be seeing a nice tax savings for their companies. So this is what's going on with Trump Care. It will reduce the federal deficit. It's projected to reduce that deficit. In the end, it may not reduce it as much if healthcare costs really skyrocket as is expected. And it largely accomplishes the reduction in spending by increasing the number of uninsured people in the country. Now, there are some conservative Republicans who believe the bill doesn't go far enough to get the federal government out of health care. These are largely people in the so-called Freedom Party who don't believe in a role for government other than perhaps defense. Now, other Republicans have been hearing from their constituents who do have coverage because of Obamacare and are saying, don't take away, don't repeal Obamacare. And so there is pressure being applied to other Republican congressional representatives. The Senate only needs 3 Republican senators to vote against the bill for it to fail. But even if the bill fails to pass, Obamacare will be crippled by the Trump administration's executive orders to change regulations that were developed to implement Obamacare, and to not enforce those that are in place or other aspects of Obamacare that cannot be addressed except through legislation. They just won't enforce the law. And they know that by doing this, there will be growing dissatisfaction with Obamacare. And they can do this through regulations and executive orders. So what does this mean for the future of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act? Well, it looks bleak. On the one hand, perhaps it's failure and public outrage over losing insurance will set the stage for a single-payer option. I'm not holding my breath on that one, but I certainly can hope that this would be so. On the other hand, most of the changes to Obamacare that are embedded in the Trump Care bill will not take place until the end of 2018 or 2020. The Republicans want to protect their seats through the next elections. But even if people don't feel the pain until the end of 2018 of Trump Care, there still is enough public concern over the bill's promise to increase the number of uninsured people in the country that 2018 could bring a dramatic shift in the makeup of Congress. We're going to continue to cover what happens with Trump Care and its impact and the political context of this bill. Let me just remind you that I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of Health Cetera, that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy. You can follow us online at healthmediapolicy.com. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Now I want to turn to Health Cetera producer Liz Siegert, talking with Luna, a transgendered person who uses a federally qualified health center for her care. The Trump Care plan would take the federal money that currently goes to Planned Parenthood and shift it to community health centers. But with the rise in the uninsured that will accompany Trump Care, it's doubtful that these centers will be able to survive and thrive to serve Luna and others. We'll end with an interview by Health Cetera producer Eve Adler of Dr. Sion Roy, a physician working for another federally qualified health center that serves vulnerable populations, including immigrants. Eve reports from California, a state with one of the largest world economies and one of the largest immigrant populations in the United States. But now, here is Liz Siegert.